are locked into the Philadelphia Eagles. What's up, everybody? Welcome in. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Sunday edition of the show. It's the post-game show. Welcome in, everybody. Once again, Louis DiBiase alongside my co-host, Gino Camilleri. The Eagles made you sweat it out once again. But a win is a win. The Eagles take it over the Chicago Bears at Lincoln Financial Field, 22-14. Gino, they head into the bye week here at 5-4. It wasn't pretty. It doesn't feel great. They have a long way to go, and we're going to get into a lot of the negatives because the Eagles nearly gave this game away. They were up 19-0 at one point into the first half. You know, at the end of the first half, I think the Bears had just 2 yards of offense, but they pull within 5 points. But the Eagles pull away down the stretch. It wasn't the greatest win, but at the same time, what I'll say is it wasn't one of the 2018 collapses that me and you were getting nervous. We were re-witnessing the Carolina game, the Tennessee game. They made sure it was more like the Indianapolis game, the Green Bay game this year, ones where they closed it out in the end.
I tweeted that probably 10 minutes left to go in the game, that it could be another Carolina, it could be another Tennessee, and then I put ... Chicago. Is it the next chapter in this epic letdown of Doug Peterson mismanaged games that Jim Schwartz's defense was not able to close it out and have went awry and steered a season awry? And we saw that in 2018. But here we are. We came out on the right side of it for once. And back-to-back weeks, Lou, we were lucky enough to be there last week, but this week, sitting on the couch and taking in that absolute perfection that was that last drive to seal out the game. Unbelievable. Third and Wentz, it just came to fruition in that series of events. I mean, Zach Berman just tweeted out the play from when it began at 8:39 left in the fourth quarter. So it's Miles Sanders. He went for 3 yards on first and 10. Second and 7, pass to Aguilar for 4 yards. Third and 3, pass to Alshon Jeffrey for a first down. Alshon Jeffrey was questionable throughout the game. Couple drops, comes up huge with that. That's huge. And that throw by Wentz to just get it where Alshon could only be the one to get it.
Alshon had 3 third-down drops before that, so he needed to make up for it. Wentz was incredible on third downs today, and he had Alshon drop 3 balls on third down. I forget who else dropped a pass, but Wentz converted 3 different third downs on that final drive that killed 8 minutes and 14 seconds. We talked about, me and you talked a lot about the Buffalo drive last week in the fourth quarter. The Bills didn't get their first possession of the game, or of the fourth quarter, until there was like 7 or 6 minutes left. The same thing here. They were reeling. They were only up one score, but Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson put on a clinic in that one. Wentz precision on third down, and I thought Doug Peterson had, again, Gino, he was being cute in the red zone today with those stupid screen passes, the runs on second and long. Third and fourth down decision making was definitely questionable, but he got Ertz open today with rub routes, with trailing routes. Ertz finishes the game with over 100 yards receiving and 9 receptions. He had struggled over the course of the last month, and Doug got him involved today. So I thought the guys up top, the quarterback and the head coach, I thought they were maybe the biggest reason. I want to give a shout out to the trenches as well, and we'll get into those units. But I thought at the top, your coach and your quarterback really came through for you in the end, specifically on that drive.
Yeah, and to finish up what I was mentioning, you mentioned it, that they converted a bunch of third downs on that final drive, and they had 3rd and 3, they convert, 3rd and 12, the pass to Miles Sanders, they convert, have 3rd and 3, he goes to Zach Ertz, converts, 3rd and 9, he goes to Goddard, converts, and then they just get to the 2-minute warning, run it down and kick a field goal and win the game. And it was one of those games that we talked about, and it's a good defense from Chicago. We knew it, we saw it last year. We saw it evolving in 2017, even though we ran over them. We still saw the early graces of it when a young Leonard Floyd was out there. And then it began to blossom when Khalil Mack was out there, and he made his name known today. And he was all over the field, but Wentz still went for 239. He averaged 6.1 yards. I mean, Deshaun wasn't a factor outside of a one play, so the field was kind of shrunk down again. Chicago did a good job of capitalizing on that weakness for us, but Carson Wentz took care of the football, and he converted in the red zone and when it mattered. I think he's now, 49-1 in touchdowns in the red zone to interception ratio, if I'm not mistaken. I know he was at 47 a couple weeks ago, so he's got to be right there. He has just continued to dominate and make these games just signature wins. Just You had Green Bay this year. You have last week's win in Buffalo, just dominated that Buffalo team in the conditions. And then this week against Chicago, a defense and a team that was on its heels, and this was really their last leg. They were in the mode that the Eagles were in last week. They couldn't lose, and the Eagles just came out, really punched them in the mouth off the get-go. Let them hang around for a little bit. I think Schlereth made a good mention of that on the broadcast, and they closed it out, though. It was unlike what we saw in 2018, and it's a new 2019 Eagles team. Does have its ups and downs, but hey, you're 5-4 now going into the bye. Things could be a lot worse.
Yeah, absolutely. And going back to that final drive, I mean, of those three third down conversions, the screen pass to Dallas Goedert, that was nearly blown up by Chicago. Dallas Goedert was wrapped up and he was being held at the snap as the screen was formulating. You know, the Bears kind of read it. Carson Wentz was about to throw it to Goedert, realized Goedert was tied up. To get him some more time to break free, he pump fakes, waits for Goedert to get upfield, waits for the blocking to form. And that's just like, that's quarterback IQ right there. The awareness not to get that ball out until Goedert breaks free and Kelce and Brooks and Sam Howell can get downfield is why, again, you pay that guy $100 million guaranteed.
Oh, without a doubt. And they put it all together in all elements of the game, I thought, today. I mean, they didn't shoot themselves in the foot as badly as they have in the past. There were still a few drops, that Sendejo penalty. Just put Sendejo on a bus and get him.
I'll take that fourth round comp pick,
wherever the hell he wants. So yeah, that was a bad play by him. I'm very frustrated in the fact that he is still getting meaningful minutes when there's players like Avante Maddox who had a very good game and could very well.
He was really good today. Yeah.
Three. I thought all the corners played very well. Jalen Mills, we have to give him hats off, Lou. I think we have to kind of eat a little crow on him. He has came out and competed better than any of the corners have. I mean, he may not have the skill set, but the guy will compete. And that breakup of Allen Robinson may have been the biggest play of the game. And he didn't let him give up that entire play. He had his fingertips on his fingers and wouldn't let him get his hands around the ball. And you just saw how he was fighting through that play. And wag your finger all you want on that one, Jalen Mills. It was much deserved. And Rasul Douglas almost took one to the house today, Lou.
The movement continues, my friend.
Yeah, and the pass rush, dude. Can we talk about that?
How about Jannard Avery? I mean, this guy comes off, he wasn't even playing for Cleveland this year. He gets a half a sack with Malcolm Jenkins. He was out there in coverage, making some nice tackles in space. He's rocking that number 58, and he looked like Trent Cole out there today. So, I mean, he was great. Derek Barnett, Josh Sweat, your boy. I mean, the front four was awesome. They have been really, really good over the past month.
Oh, without a doubt, and you'll probably see me and PSN's Chris Afonte on Twitter all game long. Every time the pass rush gets there, we're questioning what is the pass rush. We say that it's not there, and people are wondering why we haven't had sacks. Well, look at our coverage the last couple weeks, and look at the production in the sack rating. Well, look at the production in the quarterback hits. I mean, there's a little bit of correlation there, Lou, and they're finally getting there, and the things they're doing are great. I mean, how they lined Jannard Avery up today, that was a unique look that we haven't really seen from Jim Schwartz, to put him in, like, he was almost like a roving linebacker that kind of could blitz at will, and it was a nice added element. They stood up Josh Sweat from, like, a 7-tech almost. That was a very unique presence from Jim Schwartz on the front this game.
I thought Schwartz did a really nice job of dialing up blitzes at the right time, but he would bring it with press coverage. I thought overall the first half was flawless from the defense. And again, Mitchell Trubisky, dude, his vision, his decision-making, his accuracy is just not there. So that was also helping them out, is that for two straight weeks now they've played a quarterback that's IQ, that's mechanics are just very wonky. But at the same time, I really like what Schwartz has put together. At the same time, this secondary continues to break down in key situations where they need, the offense is struggling. Yes, you can make the case, like, if they blew this game, oh, 19 points isn't enough. When you're holding the Bears to 7 to 14 points almost the entire game, sure. But when you have a quarter left and you're up by that much, if you're the deficit, doesn't matter if you've only scored 19, when the deficit is that, when it's a double-digit lead, 12 points in the fourth quarter, you've got to be able to hold on to those. And there was times, again, that coverage just broke down. The communication between Jalen Mills and Malcolm Jenkins was not there on that 50-plus yard bomb to Taylor Gabriel. They've got to figure that out, you know, because that's been happening all year. And it's a couple times now where Malcolm Jenkins, and it's so unlike him as a veteran guy, has just kind of got lost roaming. And Mills is supposed to keep outside in the zone and pass off the deep route to Jenkins. And he's just, again, kind of looking lost out there. So that's, again, there were some things in this game that still had me feeling like, okay, even at 5-4, they're a long ways away. I think the big holes of this team really rear their ugly head today when it comes to the secondary and when it comes to the wide receiving core on the opposite end.
For sure. There were definitely some things that made me kind of say that we're going to be in trouble if we have to play the Patriots in Seattle and we played like we did today. But I think they can get it right. I think Deshaun, I think they maybe rushed him back maybe 1 week too early. So now you have 2 weeks to sit him. Hopefully Alshon can get back healthy. Everybody was back healthy. I mean, Avante Maddox was a very welcome addition. The offensive line is healthy. The defensive line with Tim Jernigan just looked unbelievably explosive. We were texting back and forth saying he was just that very first play when he was offsides, and you saw him on the broadcast. He said I'm using my fingers here. It was about an inch apart, and he was like, I was this close to getting off the snap at the right time, and you saw it. That's a healthy, rejuvenated 2017-esque Tim Jernigan that you saw out there today. But the thing that you were saying, and you made a great point, is that this defense continues to break down in points during the game when they shouldn't. And you saw exactly how it broke down when they went away from playing press and they went to zone and were playing these zone looks. They were unbelievably just attacking the weaknesses of the Bears for the first two quarters in Jim Schwartz's play calling. They were up at the line of scrimmage, both the linebackers and the corners and the safeties. Everybody was close to the line. I think they played single high most of that first quarter.
I think he got scared when they let up that deep pass. I think that's when Schwartz got scared and started playing off more.
And that's the thing. He has to be situationally aware. Like, Trubisky may beat you one time, and that might be the only time he beats you for the game. So, yeah, you got to take some checks sometimes, but it's the balance. You got to have the balance there. And he just went completely away from the game plan that he had, and then he went back to it towards the end of the game, and you see what happens. Like, the pressure gets there. He has to figure out how to call that consistently through the game. And same thing on the other side of the ball with Doug Peterson. Comes out calling a great first two quarters, and then all of a sudden we're giving Darren Sproles three consecutive touches, and we're going 3-and-out. What are we doing?
That's what happened. For some reason, Gino, and me and you have been saying it for months, when Darren Sproles is on the field, Doug Peterson's brain turns to mush, and I don't understand why. Well, I do understand why, because he's explosive, you want
to
rely on him, but it's so complacent.
We have to do something really quick. You have to get out your Post-it application on your computer, and for your Jim Schwartz, Jalen Mills over everyone, you have to put Darren Sproles over everyone.
Yeah, Darren Sproles no matter what. It's so true.
Matter what, dude, because Miles Sanders looked electric in the pass game and the run game to start out. Like, I thought he was decisive, more decisive than he's looked in the past. And Jordan Howard was out for blood going against his old team. And then all of a sudden, they just take both of them out and put Darren Sproles in the game.
And then they went away from the run, too.
Things awry.
Yeah, and they went away from the run when your wide receivers, outside of Zach Ertz and Goddard today, were useless. Alshon Jeffrey, again, three terrible drops today. Nelson Agholor just cannot play with contact. Down the field, they had a one-on-one situation. Wentz gives Agholor a shot, and just the effort was lousy. He just had no interest in battling for the football there, battling through contact. Matt Collins, I never want to see on the field again. Jay-Jaw can't get on the field, and yet you went away from the run game that was working. Like, I'll give Jordan Howard credit, man. I wanted Miles Sanders to be the quote-unquote workhorse. It's taken a while here, but me and Jordan Howard have developed quite a love affair this year. He's so much like Jay Ajayi with his efficiency. 82 yards today on 19 carries, another awesome touchdown. He ran so hard. There's a play on that drive, that final drive, where Eddie Jackson blows through the line of scrimmage and just lays the boom on Howard, and Howard just absorbs it and falls forward. I mean, it's the perfect combination of thunder and lightning with Miles Sanders, too. I mean, Sanders, 42 yards on 10 carries, like you said, very decisive, confident running today, average 4.2 yards per carry. Also had three big catches for 31 yards, including that key third down pickup. So you got to keep riding those two, especially when DeSean Jackson went out, Gino. The offense was a lot more compact. Hopefully Jackson, it sounded like it was precautionary. He took, you know, some contact on those first two drives for sure. Get this bye week here, get him healthy, and then hopefully get him back for New England. But yeah, I think overall you got to just keep riding those running backs, and I think they got away from that in the third quarter, and that's kind of why Chicago kept getting the football back.
Yeah, it just drove me insane, to be honest with you, because they had a chance right before the first half ended at the end of the second quarter there to break the backs of the Chicago Bears. I mean, and then you go out there and give Darren Sproles, who really hasn't done anything since when? 2018?
I would say the last time he was a reliable weapon, like, honestly, I think maybe 2016, and that was for the first half of the year. I would say the last time he was, like, a legit guy that you want the ball in his hands, I haven't felt that way, Gino, since, like, 2015.
Yeah, not at all. And that play when he's coming across the field, and, I mean, Carson put a good ball on his hands, like, he let him. Where else did you want that ball to go? I believe if that's Miles Sanders, that ball might be going to the house. Like, he had space. I believe Miles Sanders is your better receiving back, and I don't believe that Darren Sproles or Matt Collins or even Nelson Agholor at this point deserve touches. Alshon Jeffery, yes, he did have those bad drops, but the thing about Alshon is he'll come back and make a play when it matters.
And he did.
And he did that. Zach Ertz, reliable all game. Dallas Goedert, reliable all game. There's somebody that is coming after me on Twitter, and I don't know who it is. I'm not going to mention any names, but they are a big fan of Josh Gordon for some reason. I said there were six people that I would rather give the ball to on offense over Josh Gordon currently, and I think I said this to you. And there still are. And even after Alshon Jeffery had those drops, he tagged me every time he had a drop. I still believe there are. I still believe I would much rather see Miles Sanders get the ball. I would much rather see Jordan Howard get the ball. I'd much rather see Dallas Goedert get the ball. I'd much rather see Zach Ertz and Alshon Jeffery get the ball.
But his presence
offense
alone out there, dude, over Agholor or Matt Collins is just
no.
I think it's astronomical.
I completely agree. No, I completely agree there. But still, I'm what Zach Ertz did today. You have that weapon there. What Dallas Goedert presents in your offense, you have there. I mean, Miles Sanders is the most explosive weapon in your offense for a reason. You have the elements there. It's just, I believe a lot of it is just the play calling. Like, Doug Peterson has just not been efficient in areas which I feel like he should be. And like that, the one where they were bailed out by the penalty. It's third and one. Why are we just not sneaking the ball and taking the first down? And then you go to fourth and two and drop an absolutely terrible call out of a timeout. Just continue to do what works.
I get that. It's
offense
just like the
works best when they are simplified, Lou. And those games when they play on short weeks, on those Thursday night games, when they simplify the playbook, they play best. Keep it simple. Give it to your backs. Jordan Howard's going to get you 7 yards on two carries every drive. Miles Sanders, find him in space. Alshon Jeffery will get you first down. Dallas Goedert will get you first down. Zach Ertz will get you first down. And I still believe that if you get JJ on this field, he can do something. Like, just get Mac Hollins off the field. Like, why are we not even playing him at this point? It's insane to me.
No, I get it. And again, Doug Peterson had a lot of inconsistencies today. I did think overall, though, when it mattered most, he came through. There's only so much, though, you can do for Agholor as a play caller. Like, when you're so scheme-dependent to get open, that is a problem. And I love 12 personnel, but you need to have three wide. Like, when you're playing the Patriots coming up, or the Seahawks, or if you want to compete with teams like Kansas City, like, you need DeSean Jackson healthy right now, because, again, you didn't add anybody at the trade deadline. I get
and
it.
DeSean,
I forgot to mention him.
I apologize.
And, you know, you wouldn't want to give up a second-round pick for Robbie Anderson. I understand that. Me and you both defended Howie Roseman for not going after anybody on the Tuesday trade deadline. But now, because of that, because you let Josh Gordon go through waivers, you have to rely on Agholor and Arthego Whiteside and Matt Collins. And it's just, I haven't seen anything from those guys to tell me. And J-Jaw, again, a lot of it's unfair because he hasn't been able to get on the field. But for the other two, there hasn't been a single flash where I'm like, oh, there's Nelson Aguilar of 2017 that, hey, maybe down the stretch here we can get that out of him. Honestly, our boy Lawrence, shout out to Lawrence, one of our consistent listeners, he tweeted out that Nelson Aguilar more so reminds him just, he's a gadget guy now. He is Josh Huff. He's the new version of Josh Huff. And that literally, on, that might be the
he's
perfect.
A manufactured touch
yeah, that's,
player.
Like, that's almost perfect for his description. That's all he is.
You that play down the field today is just what we've seen all year long, and I'm so happy you said it was an effort issue, because that absolutely is an effort issue. I don't care if you can't track a ball. If you can't even go up and put your hands in the air to attempt to catch it, that is a complete lack of effort. And I am just so sick of seeing him on the field. And you talk about going against and beating the Patriots. You beat the Patriots through the middle of the field, which they did in the Super Bowl. I believe you win it out of 12 personnel. And if you can have Deshaun healthy, I'm literally just keeping Deshaun and Alshon on the field and letting the two tight ends do their thing, because I love the running backs. Keep running 21, keep running 12, just keep running the football and just use your wide receivers in spots where that you can create big plays. Like with Deshaun, when he's healthy, you will be able to open up the field and let Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz went for almost 150 yards combined today. Those guys can go for like 200 plus yards if you have a consistent deep threat. And Wentz knows he knows that Zach Ertz is consistent. He knows that Dallas Goedert is consistent, so he's going to target them. You just have to have the elements on the field and the correct play calling. And I don't believe that a screen pass to Miles Sanders behind the line or a gadget play to Nelson Aguilar is the right thing to do. I'd much rather just let Zach Ertz or Dallas Goedert go one-on-one in man every single time and try to advance it down the field, because putting the ball in the hands of these guys that are just inefficient, like Darren Sproles, like Nelson Aguilar, just doesn't work. Just go to what works. You are too late into the season to keep experimenting with things that may work. You just got to go with what works at this point.
So, speaking of Deshaun Jackson, Doug Peterson said during his press conference after the game that they planned for Deshaun to play the whole game, but he was taken out for precautionary reasons, so it doesn't sound like he re-injured anything like that. So, you get him. I was kind of, again, the fan in me, the impulsive person in me wanted Deshaun out there today, but the brains kind of told me, man, you got a bye week right now. Get him healthy, because you're going to need points against that New England Patriots team. You're going to need all the weapons you can get against, to me, the best defense in football right now. So it's probably the best thing that he didn't play that whole game with how aggressive that Bears secondary was playing up on the Eagles wide receivers. But Geno, man, they really do need him for sure, because that offense, again, you can ground and pound. The offensive line can take over. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz made plays happen for his receivers, and a lot of them let him down today. But again, that can only get you so far. Eventually, you got to have some
for
speed,
sure.
And Nelson Aguilar is not giving you any of it. He was supposed to be, when they didn't draft a Mecole Hardman, when they didn't draft guys like that in the 2019 draft, Paris Campbells of the world, the Terry McLaurins, Nelson Aguilar had to be your second speed guy. And again, like you said, like I've been saying, he's just not giving that to you right now. So I hope Deshaun Jackson this week will get him healthier. At the same time, man, like this is what happens when you don't get the surgery. This was the risk. I understood the decision because he could have been back as early as 3-4 weeks. But this was kind of the other side of this was the risk over the reward for sure. We're kind of seeing that at real fruition right now.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. I don't think he re-injured it. I seriously think they just kept him out because they saw how the game was going. And I think they thought it got a little closer than they would have liked to with the way that Mitch Trubisky was playing.
They had two yards.
And like, yeah, it was not even worth throwing him out there. Like, if it's a close game, if that's a Dallas game, I believe he plays. Like, if that's for the division, like, I can see him playing in that game. But the way Chicago was just failing to move the ball on offense and the way the defense was just purely dominate. You now technically have, if you rested him today, like 3 weeks additional of what you had before, and you get him out there to play the Patriots, I fully believe that he gets involved in this offense early. And you saw it the first drive. He draws that pass interference. He picks up a catch. I mean, he's going to get involved in this offense. And Doug Peterson said they planned for him to play the whole game. He was in the game script. I'm sure they didn't want to go to Nelson Aguilar or Darren Sproles as much as they would like to have gone to Deshaun Jackson in this game. But hey, it was a smart move to keep him out. They won the game in the end. That's the thing. Chicago Bears have a great defense. We knew it was going to be tough to score points. Hey, but they did. And to look at this way, Lou, They scored the third most points against the Chicago team this season. The Packers scored 10. The Broncos scored 14. The Redskins scored 15. The Vikings scored 6. The Raiders scored 24. The Saints scored 36. Chargers 17. Eagles 22. So it's not like it's a bad defense. It's just a bad offense in Mitch Trubisky. The offense did what it had to do. The defense did what it had to do. They broke their backs in the fourth quarter.
Shooting yourselves in the foot, I think it was more so the Eagles let Chicago back into that football game. The Bears were not ready to play this game. They came into that first half. They had 4 neutral zone infractions. It was the Carson Wentz hard count game for sure in the first 2 quarters. They had, I think, overall 7 penalties in the first half. They had 2 total yards of offense. They just were not ready to play this game. And the Eagles, meanwhile, I thought put together their best first half of the season from a play calling standpoint, just from how well the offensive line was moving that Bears defensive front. Brandon Brooks, just, and even to go into the second half, that touchdown, that first touchdown to Jordan Howard, how Brooks got up to the second level and just destroyed Danny Trevathan to clear the Red Sea, and Jordan Howard had nothing but daylight. That, to me, was an offensive line game once again, that final drive, too, where they just took over, and they are really riding that unit. And honestly, Gino, I think when you see this turnaround the past 2 weeks, it's the offensive line and it's the defensive line. And now you got a guy like Jannard Avery up front over there, too. I'm feeling really good about the trenches for Philadelphia, and I think that's a big reason at 5-4, your season is very much so alive. And that was, it seemed like 5-4 was a long ways away after that Dallas game. I thought we were more so close to being, you know, a show for months now that we talk about this collapse of a 2019 season.
We joke about the term establishing the run a lot in football, and rightfully so, because if you look at the numbers, running isn't as efficient as passing the football. But for the Philadelphia Eagles right now, the way their offensive line is just purely dominating teams, look at their big wins and look at how they have ran the football. You look at the Packers win, you look at last week against the Bills, and you look at this win. 3 great defenses that your offensive line has just came out and absolutely said, we are the better unit and we are going to impose our will and move the football on the ground. And they did so in every single one of those games. And you have an efficient Carson Wentz who picks up third downs when necessary, even though they can't move the ball in the air. That's a game-winning formula for me, my friend. I mean, we talk about that this unit, they failed in Dallas and they failed in Minnesota, and you saw how far this offense could go if the offensive line doesn't play up to their potential. But then you see it the past 2 weeks, and you see it against the Packers, and you see it in all their wins, and you're like, man, if this offensive line plays well, we can win every single game. If you impose your will in the run game and keep Carson Wentz upright and allow him to convert those third downs and pick up chunk yardage, you are going to win a majority of the games, and they just have to continue, like I said, to do what works. And right now, your offensive line is working, your run game is working, your short to intermediate pass game is working. Keep it going. I mean, you can complain about not getting the ball down the field, which will be essential moving farther into the year, but that's when you hope Deshaun gets healthy. But right now, you did what you had to do the past 2 weeks to come out and get 2 huge wins. You are now 5-4 going into a period where I said to you, I'm pretty sure, Lou, I don't know if I mentioned it on the show, but I said you have to come out of this stretch starting with Buffalo and ending in that Seattle game with 2 wins, and they already have 2. If you can squeak one out against the Patriots or Seattle, you're playing with house money at this point going into that friendly stretch where you have to beat Dallas at home. Things are looking up right now, my man. You're going to get healthy going past the bye another week. This is the right time. It's a huge 2 consecutive wins for this team, and things are looking up for the Eagles.
You might be able to get to 11 wins if you squeak one of these next 2 out, because outside of that Dallas game, dude, I think they might be able to run the table. So even if they can, I almost said it wouldn't be ideal, but if they get to 5-6 coming out of this gauntlet, that they might be just fine. At 5-6, you win 5 straight and get to 10-6. I saw a scenario that's very plausible for that. So the fact that you've already got those 5 wins now, and like you said, you're playing with house money, that's big time. And you've done it against 2 really good defenses. That's why I'm so encouraged right now, despite the injuries, despite the shortcomings of the receivers and of the play calling sometimes and of the defense. Overall, you just went in on the road to a Buffalo team that was destroying other offenses, their defensive unit was great, and your offensive line mauled them. Carson Wentz was great on third down. Then you come into what was last year the number one ranked defense. You had Khalil Mack still on that unit. You had all that talent over there, and the offensive line put on a clinic. Jordan Howard dominated. I'm ready for that midseason extension that they gave Alshon in 2017 and Timmy Jernigan. I'm ready for that with Jordan Howard. And you had Carson Wentz just sharp as he's always been, honestly. 26 of 39, 239 yards. He only had one touchdown, but that third and 13, Gino, on the final drive to Miles Sanders, when Sanders was your final read on a blocking assignment and you notice the mismatch coming out of that coverage, the awareness there, Wentz right now is, I think the mental gears have, the game is really slowing down for him, and he's just picking defenses apart, despite, again, not having a lot of wide receivers to help him out.
And that's the great thing about Carson, is that you saw these games early in his career where he had to throw for 400-plus yards to win football games. But the thing is now, Lou, is that he plays into the hand of his offense, and he's very efficient in that task. And you look at 2016 Carson Wentz, where they had a very similar team with bad wide receivers, good tight ends, and a decent running game. He couldn't rely on the outside receivers, and he had to get it done, but he still tried to force it to those guys. He is now in the point in his career where he's just taking what is given to him. And that is what you have to do in the NFL, especially against good defenses. You knew in Buffalo, in the conditions, it was going to be tough to move the football. You did exactly what you had to do. You moved the football in the run game, and you converted third downs to put up 31 points. This week against Chicago, an even better defense, you knew it was going to be tough, but you took what was given to you. And there were some, he should have had closer to 300 yards. You have a couple drops from Alshon Jeffrey, drop from Darren Sproles, just whatever you want to call that play from Nelson Agholor. Carson Wentz statistically should have had a better game, but even with the statistical game and not a box score scout, that we don't do that on this podcast here, he went out there and played a great game. You look at the throws that he made, that one to Alshon Jeffrey, even after the drops on third down on that final drive, was incredible. Just, they were blanketing Alshon all day, and just to stick that ball right between the 1 and the 7 on his uniforms, right in Alshon's hands, was just magnificent. And I thought he read the field very well today. I didn't think he missed any open looks. It'll be interesting to go back and see on tape, but I thought overall Carson Wentz played a very good game, and it would be nice if he had some help from his wide receivers besides in one drive in the fourth quarter. But it is what it is. He's doing what he has to do. Found his best friend Zach Ertz today and just made the Bears pay. And a win is a win. Carson Wentz can do it. Nick Foles can do it. And Carson Wentz did it in 17 when I was there. And I felt like it was back in 17 early on with the way Chicago started moving on offense with 2 yards in the first half.
Yeah, absolutely. I was very pleased with number 11's performance today. Him and Ertz, finally, that connection was perfect. That touchdown in the red zone, inside leverage, Wentz knew he was breaking inside, leads him into the end zone. That was, you know, perfection between the two. And there was even plays, like you said, Gino, the box score does not tell the story, and that's why I hate when people are lazy and just look at it. And anyone that was going after Wentz today, I don't understand. I mean, that third and 11 where Alshon Jeffrey dropped the ball, Chicago had a blitzer up through the A-gap, hits Carson Wentz. Wentz puts it on the money, falling back, still gets that ball to Alshon Jeffrey, who just, it goes right off his mitts. So overall, I thought a great
he
day
did
for
a good
Carson
job,
Wentz.
Pre-snap addressing the corner blitz, unlike the past couple weeks.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I think he struggled
well
against Dallas.
And Jordan Howard in pass protection. I thought he had a very good game overall, just reading the field pre-snap, post-snap. The hard count, something that if he continues to implement that into his game, he'll just, that's another great feat that you look at Aaron Rodgers, who's incredible at that, and taking these free plays. That one when they jumped off sides, I wish he would have just put up a prayer to either like Nelson Agholor or Alshon Jeffrey, but he ended up throwing it out of bounds. But he's going to get more and more of those free plays as he works that hard count. And if you can get the Chicago Bears to jump off sides, you can get most other defenses to jump off sides. So that's a nice little perk that Carson Wentz is going to continue to add to his arsenal.
The Eagles take it 22-14 over the Chicago Bears. They are 5-4, over 500 for the first time since they beat the Jets a month ago. So feeling pretty good heading into the bye. They got two really tough tests here between the New England Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks. But then once again, an easy stretch coming after that. So we're through the first half of the season. 5-4, it's a lot better than where they were last year. They were 4-5. Next week, they'd get blown out in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. They dropped to 4-6. So like you said, I think the way you put it was best. They're playing with house money right now when it comes to the strength of their schedule. Just a quick look at the box score before we wrap up. Once again, Carson Wentz finishes 26 of 39, 239 yards, one touchdown. On the ground, Jordan Howard, 19 carries, 82 yards and a score. Miles Sanders, 10 carries for 42 yards. Carson Wentz also had 4 carries for 15 yards. Zach Ertz leads the way through the air, 9 catches for 103 yards and a touchdown. Dallas Goedert, number 2, at 4 receptions for 39 yards. Alshon, same thing, 4 catches, but for 36 yards. And then Miles Sanders continues to thrive through the air, 3 catches for 31 yards. And then Nelly also had 3 catches for 21, but just did not have much of an impact. And then on defense, they got to the quarterback once again. Geno, they had 3 sacks today. Brandon Graham gets another one. He's got 6, dude. I think he might get to 10.
Yeah, I said before the year my bold prediction that 3 guys would finish with 10. I Fletcher Cox is a little under pace, but right now, BG has 6. Did Derek Barnett pick one up today, too, as well, if I'm not mistaken?
He nearly had Trubisky down, but he stayed up and Josh Sweat finished the job.
That's
so
right.
It's kind of like an assist.
But Josh Sweat, my man, yeah. Jannard Avery, like, these young Bulls are getting there. We talked about hoping these young guys develop, and you can never have too many young pass rushers. And Josh Sweat, man, to see his evolution from last year to this year, the weight he puts on, the way he is able to play his type of football. And he's not an ordinary rusher. He's just got this very oddly long frame, and he's not really a what quote-unquote edge rusher. He's not really an outside linebacker. He's like this tweener, but they play him, and he can get to the quarterback. And he did that all game long. And just his that one when he had the sack, it wasn't his play. He didn't beat his guy, but his patience to just sustain that block, get off the block at the right time and make that tackle on Trubisky, it was an excellent play. I just thought that pass rush all game long wreaked havoc, and continue to rush BG from the inside. It is the best thing going for this defense, and just continue to do the things that work there as well, even though there's not many of them. But rushing Brandon Graham from a 3-tech, Josh Sweat standing up on the outside, lining Jannard Avery wherever you want him, and Fletcher Cox and Timmy Jernigan next to each other. The best friends. They're always smiling when they're next to each other. They called the penalty on 91 today, even though it was Tim Jernigan on that offsides. I thought that was kind of funny. They showed Fletcher Cox on the sideline laughing about that. So things are okay right now, Lou. I'm a lot more level than I was a couple weeks ago, even though there are still some question marks, but a lot of it still is internal. I thought Wentz, he's going to continue to take them places. The offensive line is going to continue to take them places in this defensive line, as long as they continue to impose their will and get a little bit of help, which they have gotten from the back end these last couple weeks. The sacks will get there. The turnovers will come. Even though they didn't create turnovers today, they still were efficient in what they did. They held the Bears to under 20 points, and Carson Wentz once again hits that lucky number of 21. They're continuing to play good football, Lou, and they're continuing to score points. I think they should have scored 35 points on those drives, which they took field goals. They should have scored touchdowns. They're going to continue to get better, and I believe they're hitting their stride, and we needed a little bit of a run, and it starts now.
Absolutely. Carson Wentz leads 2 calm drives in the fourth quarter in back-to-back weeks to help the Eagles win these football games and get to 5-4. We got a lot of shows this week, so I think we'll save some more content for Monday through Friday. Eagles have a bye week coming up on Sunday, so we don't have a game to talk about, Gino, which means we'll have more time to digest this one. We'll get into some stock up, stock down tomorrow, some formation stuff. We'll get into the film as well. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast, because me and Gino, we're coming at you this week with about, you know, 4 more podcasts, maybe 5 more. It depends. We're a daily podcast, though, so you can always bank on us getting 4 to 6 shows done a week into your phone or on LockedOnEagles.com. Once again, Eagles take it over the Chicago Bears to get to 5-4. For my co-host Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. This has been the postgame show on Locked On Eagles. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds!
Fly, Eagles, fly.